Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
Yes, we are a little weird here, clearly, but Junior just reminded me. Today is a great day. It's Janae Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Your girl, Janae Ogwumike, Mike Golick Jr. holding it down. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And we've got a new mock draft out by Mel Kiper Jr. that has a lot of people talking. In about 10 minutes, I am so excited because we should have done this forever. This is a man that is a football savant, a former offensive lineman extraordinaire, an All-American. He's going to give us his own NFL draft preview. I'm actually excited because all these other mock drafts make it make sense, Junior. It's been kind of wild. And I think Diana Russini, our ESPN NFL insider, sort of put it best. Like, we're at the point where we're coming down the home stretch, you know, excited about the NFL draft and all these conversations. I'm like, are we overthinking it? Put on your helmet because things continue to get interesting, Junior. It's been kind of wild because yesterday we discussed Randy Mueller, a former NFL executive. Yesterday we heard the sound and him talking about, hey, potentially like Zach Wilson, his upside could actually be better than Trevor Lawrence. Well, it's crazy because hold my beer. Today, Chris Sims, NBC analyst, joined the Adam Schefter podcast, and you're hearing some of the same. This is what he said when speaking of who he likes better in quarterbacks overall.
You have Zach Wilson ahead of Trevor Lawrence.
The first thing I'll go with that, right? You know, whenever you do this type of stuff, people just go, they make it about the negative aspect of it right away. Oh, well, you don't like Trevor Lawrence. What a jerk you are. How could you not like him? No. That's the first thing. It's not an indictment on Trevor Lawrence. He's a really damn good football player. I'd love for him to be the quarterback of my football team. I just like Zach Wilson more. I look at Zach Wilson, and I think his high-end talent is greater than Trevor Lawrence, and I think he's got room to grow as a football player altogether. But the other thing that bothers me sometimes is people think, oh, you're just doing this to be a shock jock or, you know, get clicks or attention. I want to work maybe in a front office in the NFL one day. I want to be right on TV and doing my job. I don't want just clicks. That's not going to get me anything.
Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. The last part's not necessarily true. Like, the clicks always help. The attention always helps. I mean, we're probably not running this sound on our show, and I'm sure a number of other shows aren't doing the same if it's not something like that that's a little eye-popping and goes to a place. And this is the part, Janae, that I want to make abundantly clear. Asking questions about Trevor Lawrence is not wrong. Like, full stop on that one. Just because we've all assumed he's the number one to pick forever, groupthink's dangerous, and we see it happen way too often in these drafts. And so someone standing out on their beliefs and takes, I mean, hell, we talk to Dan Orlovsky all the time, who says things that he absolutely believes in on this show, even if everyone else doesn't agree in certain spots on those things. And I appreciate that about people that are willing to stand out and allege. The difference I always say in these spots is I'm going to need you, especially when it is something that we have talked about for so long, because with Trevor Lawrence, we've been watching him for years now, like especially those of us that track, and this is kind of always the divide. On the college football side, we have seen this guy in big-time games going back to his freshman year. We have seen this guy forged in the fire against the best competition in college football. We've seen Zach Wilson go real hard, go real big for about a year now, and most of that climb has been postseason, even for those of us that love, like myself, BYU and what they were doing during the year in college football. Janae, I just always need a little more why to this, because when I hear him say I like his upside more, when I hear him say the physical tools that he cites more, I'm going to need you to tell me what physically Zach Wilson is giving you that Trevor Lawrence is not, because I cut on the tape and I see bigger, faster, stronger. In every way, shape, and form. That's part I don't get.
That is complicated, Junior. And I think it's interesting because it's so, you know, when it comes to basketball, these things tend to jump off of the page, like the athleticism, the pro-ready model, but like the schemes, the mental aspects of the game, the natural being able to read the defense and connect on plays, the stakes are so much higher. Why is it that we're comfortable knowing that there's a great divide when it comes to competition and also sample size? Is it just the skill set that we're seeing in his mechanics and like all that type of stuff that is sort of making people more excited about his potential, because that is more pro ready than what we've already seen with Trevor? Because I'm trying to make it make sense, because we've seen Trevor Lawrence doing against better competition, obviously, but also just naturally have more advantages, where now we're like, that's where the narrative is flipping towards Zach, and it doesn't really seem like it works in his favor.
Yeah, this is the strange part, because you're right. Zach does a lot of things, especially people have talked about now the off platform throws, being being able to do it out of the pocket, his upper body torque, like all of this stuff that very much plays into what people like about NFL quarterbacks now, guys that can do it. Patrick Mahomes has kind of got everyone drunk off that phrase off platform now. People see you moving outside of the pocket and being able to fling that back. Like, again, that's a thing that Trevor Lawrence does really well. That's a thing Justin Fields does at an elite level in these spots. Like, he's not the only guy that can do this, and he's doing it smaller and slower than both of those players in this instance. But the thing that comes up, and you mentioned Randy Mueller, who was on this weekend with Darian and Mel, and said he believed that when we talk about Zach Wilson, he was more pro-ready. I think that has a lot to do with the offense. When you turn on what BYU was doing on tape, you saw shifts, you saw motions, you saw pro concepts built into that offense that Zach Wilson was operating in that spot. That is not what Trevor Lawrence and Clemson were doing. Clemson runs a college offense in every way, shape, and form. Trevor Lawrence is operating like day one. That is an offense that is a few levels below, but you got great athletes all over, including your quarterback, that can make it work in that spot. And so I look at that upside part of the conversation, Shanae, and that's where I get the most frustrated, because I go, just because we've seen Trevor Lawrence on the big stages for 3 years now as a player doesn't mean there's not a lot more upside to get tapped into when all of a sudden you do give this guy more options. You do give him schematically more help in these spots than I think he was getting at Clemson at any given time. And so I look at that and say, as far as physical gifts, and this is what we do, Field Yates, our great ESPN NFL insider, has always told me, he was a scout, and he said, we draft traits, not production in certain spots. I don't look at Zach Wilson, and I'm good. And again, Chris Sims played quarterback at a high level. Dan Orlovsky played quarterback at a high level. And I'm not saying Dan's made this take, but I'm saying I'm always willing to say what I don't know in these spots. And if one of these quarterbacks can give me a specific thing physically that Zach Wilson has that Trevor Lawrence doesn't, I would love to know, because I watch from someone's perspective who blocked for those dudes, and I'm saying I would like the dude that's back there that has all these freaky arm gifts and also is made of Teflon and is eventually going to take one of those, absorb, and get through a hit that I give up in a way that makes my life a lot better and makes our team's life a lot better.
And I think the great equalizer here, and I'm right there with you, Junior, because as like, I mean, you might be an offensive lineman, but I'm a post, so I know exactly what it's like to make sure your point guard gets protected and can get you the rock. But I don't think we brought into the conversation much the team. Is there a certain advantage that you would say, I mean, these are two franchises that are trying to rebuild, Jacksonville and then also the New York Jets. Is there an advantage that we're giving a slot there, or do we think it's honestly neutral territory for them to have an impact?
Yeah, I think this is the other part of that, Janae, is they both are, forget a neutral chance, they're both going to have an uphill battle in these spots. Now, people are going to look at Mike LaFleur and the last name and the system that he comes from and say, all right, maybe they can turn this around, but this is still a Jets offense that is talent deficient in a lot of spots across the board. This is a Jacksonville team that we're talking about ripping this thing down to the studs in most instances, and you're talking about a coach making his jump from college to the pros for the first time in Urban Meyer. So both of these guys, and I've heard Dominique Foxworth talk about this, are going to be potential victims of what happens a lot in the NFL. Really good prospects. Like, these guys are good football players. All the ones up top sometimes are going to land in a situation that might be hard for anyone, that might be damn near impossible for anyone but like the 1% of transcendent players to actually claw their way out of and work. There's a chance that these guys could fail. That's why San Fran always comes up, because it's like, yeah, we're going to look at whoever goes and plays quarterback, whichever one of these young players ends up in San Fran, and probably try and revisionist history, say that player should have gone number one overall, when it's not. Like, that player should have thanked God that he ended up on a team that was going to be able to put him in a position to win, and not one where he had to overcome so much. And going full circle, Janae, that's what I always feel like. If you're drafting at the top, it means you're bad, usually. Like, big bad in this spot. And so what are you going to need at that spot? What did college figure out you could do at that spot with quarterbacks? Find a guy that's athletic enough, that's strong enough, that's savvy enough on his own to make up for some of the mistakes that his lesser talented peers are going to make around him. That's the problem with Mac Jones in some of these instances, and I think that's the biggest solution that Trevor offers you in these situations, is he is going to find his way out of trouble, because quite frankly, he's been doing it at Clemson behind an offensive line that, compared to the rest of his peers in this, lags behind. He's already had to put that on display, and so I'm not using this to slam Chris Sims or anyone else who would question Trevor's status at the top. I'm just saying that as someone who always wants to understand more, I want to hear your why, and I need to hear a little more, and I would love to hear a little bit more specifics as to what those whys look like.
And I rest my case.
And we'll just, you know, we'll leave it at that. But we also want to invite everyone, as we talk about the upcoming NFL draft, to come hang out with us. A virtual Q&A in advance of the draft is tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern. We're very excited.
Yeah.
We're hopping on a Zoom. We're going to answer some questions. There is still some time. Check us out, bit.ly/CGJ421. You can still register. Still some room available. bit.ly/CGJ421, all lowercase. When you register, you can submit questions. We got some great ones lined up tonight about The Bachelor, Eats, basketball, the upcoming WNBA season for Chene.
Yeah.
All those. We'll shout you out. We'll answer the questions. Check that out. bit.ly/CGJ421. Again, all lowercase tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern. We're very excited to actually get to look at some of the people that have been kind enough to give us some time on this show. But coming up next, Chene said she loves mock drafts, and so I thought, all right, you know what we'll do? We will oblige Chene in this. So coming up next, over the course of the next few weeks, we're going to give you a position breakdown coming up in the draft. Some names you know and a couple you need to put in your pocket. We'll do that next. Chene Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chene Angola Jr., the podcast.
Allowed to say whatever I want because I've got the mic. Go Sparks! Go Sparks! WNBA released new jerseys, and now we have a new schedule. And I'm just claiming everyone on ESPN Radio as a part of my family because you guys have been rocking with us, Junior and I. And now you officially have a team to root for in the WNBA season. I'll explain more in about 10 minutes. It's Chene Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Chene Ogumakeye and Mike Golick Jr. And there is our beautiful ball boy if you're looking on ESPN Plus. Before we get to the WNBA in about 10 minutes, Junior, special day for us. Let's wrap things up because we talked about Mel Kiper Jr.'s mock draft 4.0, the fourth edition of his mock draft, and now we have been inspired. So you were catching me up. Leading up until the draft, very soon, we will give you a position breakdown every Tuesday and Thursday, but you will put your flavor on it, right, Junior?
Absolutely. Looking forward to this because, Chene, in addition to all the great people we have that cover the NFL draft around here, I'm super lucky. Myself, Jason Fitz, Field Yates, Trevor Scales, and a bunch of others get to cover the NFL draft on the digital side for us, which means we get to take a look at a lot of different players coming up through all of this. And so we decided we'll give you, Mel Kiper's got his position breakdowns. We'll talk about that group. We'll give you what I think is the best of each position group and someone you can watch in a later round because we know every team is looking for the sleeper, the guy that's going to sit around later in their draft, help fill out that roster. And so we're going to get you ready here for the upcoming NFL draft. Let's start today. Jake, hit the music with running backs. Very exciting day around here, Chene. So to get everyone caught up on this, as we look at our friend Mel Kiper Jr.'s top four running backs in the upcoming NFL draft. At number four, he's got Trey Sermon out of Ohio State. Hero that everyone saw in the Big Ten Championship.
Yeah.
Balling out in the college football playoff. The Oklahoma transfer to Ohio State that made the most of his 2020 spot. Number three, he's got Javonte Williams from North Carolina. Part of a two-headed monster there with Michael Carter. Both insanely talented backs, but Javonte Williams, little bigger, faster, stronger in this spot. Both incredible one-cut zone backs that can hit big home run plays even if they don't necessarily have the craziest 40 times in the world. Number two, Travis Etienne from Clemson. Chene, this could be a 1A, 1B situation here. I mean, a guy's like the two-time ACC Player of the Year in a backfield that also includes the future number one overall pick in the draft in Trevor Lawrence. But number one for Mel Kiper Jr. and number one for me, Chene, I got to go with is Najee Harris out of Alabama. I have said for a couple of years now, this guy has the silkiest set of mitts of any running back I have seen coming out of the NFL draft. He is a bona fide pass catcher, over 400 yards through the air in this last 2020 season as a part of that offense. And he makes the tough, fun ones. I'm talking back shoulder wheel routes in the end zone. This guy is certified, bona fide stud, Chene, in an offense that had weapons everywhere.
Fully believe, this is your number one overall pick, and you agree here.
Absolutely. This is my number one running back off the board. I know running backs disputed it in the first round a lot, but Chene, if you're going to take a chance on one at the top, I think it's got to be Najee.
So I was looking at the Mel Kiper mock draft, and they had him potentially going to, I believe, Pittsburgh Steelers. And it's crazy because Juju Smith-Schuster was just on the Michael Irvin podcast, and he was saying that this is the guy we need to get. And so if you're getting co-signed by Juju and this is a need, obviously that would help them, especially in that skill position. So I am here. I am on board. And I love his number one running back pick. Well done, Junior.
Absolutely. And by the way, you mentioned former Steelers running back now, James Conner, just signed with the Arizona Cardinals today. So they've got to fill in that backfield. And honestly, when you look at a big, shifty back, Najee is James Conner's skill set on steroids, I think, in this spot, what he's been able to do there. And a guy that endeared himself to a lot of people before he was hurtling Notre Dame players in the college football semifinal.
Who? Sorry?
Don't worry about that one again. He also was making people very much aware that he looked up and did a celebration for a touchdown inspired by Megan Rapinoe from the U.S. Women's
You're
National
right,
Team.
With the hands up. Had that is so true.
Very wholesome exchange between the two there. So, Najee Harris, my number one overall back heading into the draft. But, Chinee, let's get to the sleeper on this one, because I think this is the fun part, is trying to figure out players that we're going to see in other places. Okay. The guy I want to highlight is Jarrett Patterson. Now, Jarrett Patterson is smaller and a little bit slower. Ran about a 4.5 40, which isn't terrible for a running back. 5'9", about a 195, coming out of Buffalo. Anyone that's familiar with Lance Leipold and this Buffalo team knows they love to run the rock. But don't let what the offensive line, don't let what the system does fool you. You don't rush for, and this is going back to 2020 against Kent State, 36 carries for 409 yards and 8 touchdowns in one game. And this is not the only time he's done freak show stuff like this, Chinee. The game before against Bowling Green, he rushed for 301 yards and 4 touchdowns. This is how he operates, Chinee. But this is a guy, unbelievable lower body strength, incredible at shedding tackles. And my favorite thing as an offensive lineman is we're always told when we're blocking out run schemes, all right, we got to block our 5 guys up front. Tight end's got to block their guys. The running back has to block his guy, meaning you're going to get one that we can't account for, and you got to make him miss. And you're going to be hard-pressed to find a running back better at making his guy miss in space, in tight quarters, than Jarrett Patterson out of Buffalo. Probably going to be a guy that you're going to be able to get on day 3, but as we see more running back by committee groups out there, Chinee, I think he's going to be an awesome addition to someone's team.
That is a good point, running back by committee. But Jarrett Patterson, was it the big TD game that sort of made you fall in love with him, or is he someone that you've always followed?
Well, he's someone I was fortunate. I got a chance to cover. I called their game against Miami of Ohio, another MAC powerhouse, and just getting to watch up close and personal, Chinee, this team is a lot of outside zone. It gives your running back a chance to make decisions, to use his vision to try and find his way through the mess. And Jarrett Patterson did it about as well as anybody I watched on tape all year. So a ton of fun, and a guy that I think is going to absolutely help someone's roster, be that sort of Darren Sproles size back, but a guy who is very strong despite being a little closer to the earth.
Running backs, we value you. We love you here at Chinee and Golic Jr., okay?
Absolutely.
That's how we roll.
Absolutely. Running backs always matter to this show. Our small friends in the backfield are always welcome around these parts. So, like we said, we're going to get you ready as we head up to the draft. We got a few weeks out now. We'll give you one position on Tuesday, one position on Thursday, and we'll make sure that we always put you with a little coin in your
pocket. Can't wait for the linemen, baby. Offensive linemen.
We're saving those till next week. I need plenty of time and room for offensive line day around here. We got beef coming our way. By the way, that NFL draft preview is brought to you by Sherwin-Williams. You ready to kick off your next painting project? Ask Sherwin-Williams. But we got some time before the draft. We got a big announcement. Someone is getting ready to kick off the party in the W. We will have our very own Chinee Agumake tell us why it's going to be the LA Sparks standing atop the Heat this year in the W. That's next here on ESPN
Fingers
Radio
crossed.
And ESPN Plus.
Chinee and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I need a soldier. Hey, all right, it's time to have fun. But first, let's see why NBA players are big mad. It's Chinee and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Chinee Ogumake and Mike Golic Jr. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotlines. I don't know why they keep playing with me, playing that Destiny's Child, that Beyonce. Like, it's crazy. But the reason why the NBA players are mad, it's interesting. We have 20 games left in the regular season, and that means the pressure is on. You have teams like the Spurs, the Warriors, the Pelicans, these guys that have a lot of expectations, whether you have stars like Zion Williamson, Steph Curry dropping 50, the Spurs historically great. Those teams not in the playoffs. The Knicks, the Hawks, the Mavs, and the Grizzlies are right now, which is shocking. But a lot of conversation has been happening, Junior, about the NBA play-in tournament, which involves seeds 7 through 10. Now, a number of stars, especially in that echelon of 7 through 10, are pushing back. I'm talking about Draymond Green, Luka Doncic, Mark Cuban, Now, earlier today, Rachel Nick is our ESPN host that we always know from The Jump. I just hung out with her earlier today. She joined us and said, you know, speaking of stars pushing back, we just played the sound a couple minutes ago about Luka Doncic. She said it was curious timing for Luka to say, this play-in tournament, not my type.
Mark Cuban is one of the team owners who voted for this. It was a unanimous vote. He voted yes. It's just a little bit to me, look, I get it, but it's a little bit to me curious that he is raising this now when it's his team that might be in this situation. And the things that he points out are difficulty are kind of things the NBA was trying to do on purpose to get more big stars playing more nights.
Janae, this seems like a very clear instance of Mark Cuban back then voting as an owner, as someone who understands that this is valuable, good for eyeballs in the league. And then in this instance here, yeah, probably himself being a little miffed that his team's involved. But also, when your star player comes out and says very publicly, I think this is dumb, it's pretty good business in your building to come out here and say, yeah, I totally agree. Hindsight, this is a pretty dumb way to go about it. Knowing good and damn well, probably deep down in places he won't talk about at parties, Mark Cuban would vote yes again.
Yeah, probably. And it's more exciting. And guess what? If you're worried about, you know, it coming down to one possession, two possessions, you've got the player to make sure you make those plays. That's Luka Doncic. And that's what sort of celebrated his hero last year, stepping on and being clutch. But yeah, that's more work for Luka, but it's win for all of us. It's Chinee Ogwumike Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Chinee Ogwumike, Mike Golic Jr. So that was Rachel Nichols on The Jump, host of that spectacular NBA show. And I was there earlier, Jr., for a specific reason. Because the WNBA just released its schedule. Let's freaking go. And it was funny. I was coming on knowing that that's exactly what we get to talk about, some of the storylines of the season. And I sit down, and first of all, this is the first time I've been in studio at LAPC. And I was like, oh, wow, it's like great to be back. And I just had like a whole sentimental moment. And they're like, and here's the schedule. And I was like, oh, yeah, she's like, the LA Sparks play this. And I was like, oh, that's cute. I was like, hold up, wait, that's my game. I'm playing, like, what? I was like, Rachel, oh my gosh, like, the Sparks, like, this is my team. And she was like, yeah, Chinee. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, switching roles, switching different places. But I'm very excited because our season starts May 15th against Dallas. And I'm looking at August 26th through the 28th. Do you know what game that is, Junior?
Do I ever in this spot? This is always fascinating. What players go into? We talk about this all the time going into the NFL season. What do players look for when the schedule comes out? And Chinee Ogwumike, former number one overall draft pick by the Connecticut Sun, just highlighted the road tour Thursday the 26th at Mohegan Sun in Connecticut. Chinee will be making her triumphant return, and ESPN Radio is going to be showing up and showing out, sparked out for everybody.
I need to hear verification. Team Sparks, I'm going to get you guys all black jerseys. And the reason I'm circling this one is because my family on ESPN Radio, y'all can show up. I'm so excited. So Junior is going to be there. Cliff, anybody? Like, I need to hear the cosign.
I'm going to be Junior. Can I get a ride?
Oh, 100%. Here, Jake, you coming with us?
I already requested off.
Jerry, who's working on the TV side, is coming. Shout out to Becky. She's coming, too. And Brian Bernie's coming, too.
Everybody's in here, Chinee. So, yeah, you've got 100% buy-in on here. It is going to be 13 jerseys in that L.A. Sparks black all the way on the sideline.
That's a good number, right? Kind of swaggy, right? 13? Let's go.
Oh, hell yeah. We're ready for it. But, Chinee, I'm excited about that because we'll get you back out here in your home front. Like, obviously, a place that you lived for a while, a team that you played for there. So, a little bit of a revenge game factor, which is my favorite game in sports.
I'm kind of, first of all, it's not a revenge game because I've already had that revenge game and revenge playoff game, and that was not fun. But it's all right. I'll be happy to see you. But, you know, I don't forget, Junior. I really don't forget. We've been friends here at ESPN for a very, very long time. You've had plenty of invitations out. I don't know if I'll believe that you'll come because, like, you've had the opportunities before. What makes things different now?
Well, I mean, Chinee, what makes things different now is, like, we've committed to each other in a different way. We've talked about this as, like, our work marriage right here. So now we're in it fully and truly now. And so now I've got to be up there showing out, showing support, especially walking into what is now enemy territory around here. And you know this. I am a Notre Dame Fighting Irish fan that lived in UConn women's basketball territory for a long time. If there's one thing I love doing, it is ticking off people around here by rooting for a team that they don't like. So I am going to be with you guys in the bunker, ready to shout out all these fans at Mohegan Suns if we're letting fans in.
Yes, I am very excited for this, Junior. And yeah, it was a surreal moment. Like, the schedule's out, and I'm here breaking it down like a normal analyst. Then I was like, hold up, wait, that's my, wait, what? One second, wait, hold on. That was my game?
That was my question for you, Chinee, is because, like, we take for granted that you come on this and you're a current player and you're breaking down down the NBA and you're breaking down all these sports with us, but I saw the topic bar on the jump in screen in here that was, who do you think has the best chance to dethrone the Seattle Storm? And I was like, how is Chennai going to go about navigating? Like, were you able to put the baller away for a little bit and actually analyze your own league without putting yourself into it?
I mean, I know what I'm doing. Like, I'll try to be unbiased. I started off by saying the Las Vegas Aces because Liz Cambage is back and so has Kelsey Plum. You've got D'Erica Hamby. D'Erica Hamby, hopefully we'll be talking to very soon. You've got a number of stars. They acquired Chelsea Gray. Like, it's got Asia Wilson, the reigning MVP. Their favorites, likely to win after making it to the finals last year. You've got the Chicago Sky, my former teammate, Candace Parker, going with Diamond to Shields, Courtney Vandersloot, Allie Quigley. Like, this is what I do. But it is different. It is different, though, when it's like you always, as a competitor, and I was like, oh, also in the LA Sparks, who also got Chrissy Tolliver back, and Erica Wheeler, and Amanda Zawibi, my people. And so I threw that in on the end just because I had to be honest and, like, give myself and my team, you know, the props because we're out here coming for wins, too. But it was a different feeling and a different emotion. And speaking of, like, being in the work relationship where you better show up, because if you don't show up, I'm going to punish you now. Mm-hmm. I did get major work relationship vibes when I was walking through LAPC and I'm there with Rachel Nichols on the phone with you on speaker. I was like, hey, yeah, like, you know, Junior says hi, Rach. Oh, yeah. It's like totally like, oh, yeah, work boo. This is just what we do.
This is what
we're
do.
We're a unit.
I'm going to say, we go everywhere and everyone always knows when I'm out in public, I'm getting asked about Chennai. When Chennai is at LAPC, Rachel is calling and asking to try and talk to me. So this is just how it works with us.
I know.
Now,
I mean, we just haven't been in committed relationships really that in a while. So, you know, it just is different. It's a whole different.
That's a fair point. And you know what? This is a good, safe space for us to work on at right here. And that is why when it comes to August 26th and August 28th, when the LA Sparks come to take on the Connecticut Sun, we are going to be front and center letting everybody know what
it's going to be
around here.
So wild. I think it's going to be like, I have a feeling it's not even just going to be you guys. Everyone's going to show up so deep.
Oh, it's going to be bad. My goal is to get thrown out of the game. Like, I am trying to be out here as a absolute problem in here. Like, Chennai, I am confident in your end of you getting the amount of buckets needed in this spot for me to just absolutely be a pro. I'm going to be like a bad AAU parent in the crowd.
Cliff is going to be wild. Like, that's expected. Cliff is going to try to come in there being cool, and he's going to lose his stuff. He's probably going to be the one, ref, what are you talking? Let my girl hoop. Let my girl live.
That is so true. And then the best part, after we all get to stay and gamble, it's going to be great. I cannot wait. By the way, speaking of true ballers around here, I know you guys saw this whole crew together at the end of last week, but First Take, Her Take, hosted by our very own Chennai Ogwumike, WNBA baller, as well as Charlie Arnold and Kimberly A. Martin. Podcast drops every Wednesday. New episodes around here, giving you plenty of the inside scoop on all this. Like, we always talk about Chennai having to separate the true baller from the NBA and WNBA analyst in these situations. She has also at times got to separate Chennai giving out her actual life and relationship stuff
on
the radio.
We had to cut a lot of the podcast this week.
Oh, no. Oh, wow. So you guys are finding the limits even on a podcast? Good Lord.
I was like, take that out. Too spicy.
Oh, no. That is what you get when you download First Take, Her Take, wherever you get your podcasts. But you get the rest of the good stuff around here, too.
Yes.
Download Chennai and Golic Jr. wherever you get your podcasts. But coming up next,
we
all like movies around here. And yesterday, we were talking about movies that we had not seen. Coming up next, though, I'm going to give you one movie and ask if it's a movie you actually would see. We'll talk about some weird casting in the NFL next here. Chennai and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chennai and Golic Jr., the podcast.
It has been a day, but it has been a blessed day. It's Chennai and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Chennai Ogwumike, Mike Golic Jr. holding it down. Now, it's been great because we had another version of First Take, Her Take, kind of, with the amount of guests that we've had. Love it. Katie George joined us, as you've seen all over our network. And normally I tell you exactly what you need to know from the sports world. Just come back and listen to the conversations about potato salad and just having to bring that as, you know, a food. Because, like, if someone told me to bring potato salad, I'm like, nah, I'm bringing sweet potatoes. I'm bringing something. But, hey, you know, you just got to be a team player. And so I can't wait to listen to the pod to see how that goes down. Rachel Nichols, who joined. I know we talked about the play-in in the NBA. But more so, just stay for the WNBA conversation because our schedule got released. We're all super excited about that. And Diana Russini, also ESPN NFL insider and reporter, joined us. And obviously, so many, you know, conversations about the quarterbacks and all that type of stuff. Just come back for the conversation about how do you tell your neighbor who has a kid that's running up and down, Like, how do you tell them that your kid needs to chill out a little bit? That's a really difficult situation when you're doing television below and then boom, 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 boom. Boo, 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 boo.
I mean,
what is that?
I know how you figure it out. You say it on national radio show and you hope they're listening.
Oh, you think that worked?
It was only one way to find out. We'll have to talk to Diana next week and see if they shut up.
Actually, you know what's hilarious? That's one of those things where you always say, Janae, you always forget that we're actually on a national TV. Like, that is one of those things that Diana's probably going to be like, oh, they listened. Oh, they heard.
Yeah, they found out. It got real quiet that next day.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Actually, maybe that was a plan. Maybe that's the master plan the whole time. Come on, talk to us, Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, and talk about the struggle, and next thing you know, it's solved.
That's what we do around here. That's the way we try and problem solve around here. That's the energy we keep around here. Let's do it. We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Janae and Golic Jr.
So, Janae, keeping that same energy, apparently Netflix decided to make a movie about Bountygate, the scandal paying for hits down with the New Orleans Saints that got head coach Sean Payton suspended for a year, the story about what he did coaching in that interim. They cast actor Kevin James, most notably from one of my favorite shows in King of Queens, to play Sean Payton. Does that make you want to see the movie more or less, Janae?
More. Way more. 100% more. And, I'm just making sure. That's the one with the Will Smith, right? Like, that was...
Yes, I was say, if you're thinking Hitch, you got to keep the dance moves in the tight perimeter. Yeah, Kevin James is, like, perennially this, like, large level... He's Paul Blart Mall Cop, for God's sake. And now he's going to be playing the coach that got suspended for a year for Bountygate.
I feel like that makes it more endearing, right? Like, if you already think that that's something that was controversial and then you know exactly what happened in that year off, like, why not bring him in? Like, that... I think it's a good pick. What about you?
I am all for Kevin James in any circumstance and getting to see him be a coach right now.
Who would be the actor that would play your life? I think we have to save that question for another day, Junior.
It'd probably be some bald-bearded white guy like Zach Galifianakis from the second Hangover movie.
Oh, that's a good one.
It makes sense. Keeping that same energy here on Janae and Golic Jr. We'll break down our movie characters another day. But, Janae, we did see this. White Claw releasing an 8% alcohol by volume seltzer in a variety pack with three new flavors. Janae, are we just working our way back to Four Locos, or do we need to pump the brakes honoring one of the all-time most dangerous drinks in life's history?
I think this is actually great because White Claw is realizing that everyone deserves the summer. It's coming. We're being safer. People are getting vaccinated. We're social distancing. We're wearing masks. And so, like, you know what? Here is your prize. We're going to give you this drink. So I'm glad that they made this decision. I just don't know if you're Team White Claw now, or are you still Team Four Loko? Like, are you still loyal to Four Loko?
Well, listen, I want to ask the most important caller, Cliff. Is that the streets again?
On line one again. They keep calling us, yo. They just want us out of here again.
The streets keep calling us back, and I'm going to tell you right now, the streets, like the 49ers, may like Mac Jones. They may like White Claw, but they know deep down in places they need the variety, needing the chaos that comes from Four Loko here. Draft one of these players that can give you a little bit more here.
Yes.
Four Locos of quarterbacks in the upcoming draft. But
Janae,
keeping that same energy, we got to finish with this because we talked about when we had Katie George on the show. You can check it out on the podcast. We had a list that came out today on Twitter, courtesy of YouGov.com. The U.S. states were ranked. So this website asked respondents to choose between two states. They would match them up randomly, the 50 states, one against the other. The figures shown are the percentages each time a state won their matchup. So I'm going to give you the top five states quick in the union that won their matchup according to this list.
Number
five.
North Carolina. Come on and raise up. Number four.
Number four.
Nevada. This feels very Vegas heavy. Number three.
Vegas, yeah.
Number three.
Virginia. Not the Western variety.
Interesting.
Number two. Colorado. She'd trade Colorado if he'd take her with her. Zach Brown's the best. And number one.
Hawaii?
You guessed it. Shout out to Hal Chapman Wingo. Hawaii on deck for Uncle Trey in this spot. Janae, Texas,
Where's Texas?
Texas is back, folks. Coming in at number 10 in Connecticut.
What about Connecticut?
Number 23. I was stunned.
What was the worst?
The worst was Alabama. This is the only time I have beaten them, Janae.
This is the worst. Oh, my gosh. That's the only time they're the worst on the list.
I am going to take it, and I am going to run with it, though. So that is where your states are ranked. Coming up next, by the way, make sure you stay tuned here to ESPN Radio. Ron Rivera, head coach of the Washington football team, going to join Spain and Fitz next. Make sure you check that out. Don't want to miss that as we head into the NFL draft here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.